Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
You'll notice that Brian led songs tonight that correlate with this topic of walking with God and how important it is that each one of us walks hand in hand with God through life. We can't live our lives without Him. Apart from God, we're nothing, and we need to understand that. We're dependent creatures, and we're dependent upon God. And we need to draw near to God. And He has promised that if we will draw near to Him, He in turn will draw near to us. James chapter 4 teaches us that. So we want to draw near to God and walk with Him along life's way, walking in the light as our Lord is in the light, so that all will be well with us in the great eternity to come. We want to look at any number of scriptures tonight that pertain to that topic. And I want to begin in the book of Genesis. So if you want to follow with me, while you feel free to do so, turn with me to the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis, where we read a most interesting statement found in verse 24 concerning an ancient man by the name of Enoch. And there the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That would be all that we know about that passage or about that thought, except for the fact the writer of Hebrews makes mention of it in the 11th chapter of that book. And we want to look there at verses 5 and 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, where the record tells us, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him, for he hath had witness borne to him that before his translation he had been well pleasing unto God. There was a preacher preaching on Enoch one night, and there were two little boys in the audience, in the assembly, that were listening intently. The man was a very capable speaker and had a very graphic way of expressing things. And he talked about Enoch walking with God, and God took him. And then he quoted these passages that I've just cited. And the two little boys were enthralled at what he was having to say. So after it was all over, while the youngest of the brothers was asking his older brother concerning what the preacher meant by this statement that he was translated and God took him. And so the older little boy said, well, that's easy. He said, God and Enoch were good friends, and they took long walks together every day. And one day they walked further than they had planned, and they got way out there, and they realized that nighttime was coming on, and they were a lot nearer to God's house than they were to Enoch's house. And so God said, Enoch, you just come on over and spend the night with me. That was his simplistic explanation of that. And even though it might be rather humorous to us to consider that little thought, yet in essence, that's what it's all about. We walk with God day by day. We draw near to God. We love God. We obey God. We keep His Word treasured in our hearts. And we remain faithful to Him along life's way. And ultimately, God's going to take us home with Him. And that's what our aim and purpose and goal in life is all about. Over in the book of Micah, a very well-known passage is found in chapter 6 of that book, verse 8, where a question was asked and answered. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? It needs to be a humble walk as we walk with God from day to day. We recognizing our own finite being, our limitation, our frailties, at the same time recognizing God's greatness and His unlimited power and His unlimited wisdom. We put our trust in Him and we allow Him to lead us along this walk of life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, the scriptures say in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in Him with all your heart, not with some of your heart, not even with most of your heart, but with all of your heart. And He shall direct thy paths. And I believe that, and I want to convey that thought with you tonight as I suggest it's very urgent that we walk with God, as all of these lovely songs that we've been singing so very graphically suggest. Well, how do we walk with God is the practical question. We can talk about Micah 6 verse 8, and we can talk about Enoch and all of that. But the practical question that we need to deal with as Christians living in a perverse generation, and if ever there was a perverse generation, a perverse society, it's our own society today in these great United States of America. So the practical question is, how can we walk with God in the midst of all of this immorality and perverseness that we see and observe? And I would like to try and answer that question. And if you want to take notes on the scriptures we're going to be looking at, that would be just fine. Question is, how do we walk with anyone? And the answer is, number one, as Bob Stapleton suggested two Wednesday nights ago, we've got to be going the same way. Bob very graphically pointed out that if one's walking this way and the other's walking that way, then they can't walk together. So the very first consideration is that we must be going the same way. And of course, when we analyze it, it must be God's way, because man does not have the capacity to direct his own steps. I think all of us are familiar with Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, where the prophet said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." We're dependent upon God's guidance, and thankfully God has illuminated our pathway. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, probably one of the most well-known texts in all the Bible, where the psalmist speaks of God's law throughout that psalm, he does tell us that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So God illuminates the pathway for us. He shows us the way that we should go. In fact, he leads us in that way. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world, who became our great example. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, most of you could quote it from memory. Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. So here is the example. God's word illuminates our pathway, shows us the way that we should go, and Jesus turns around and says to us, in essence, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me." John 14 and verse 6. So we follow Jesus. We follow the word of God. We allow it to lighten our way so that indeed we will know where we're going. So the very first observation is that we must be going the same way. And we cannot think in our minds that we can walk in a perverse way, a crooked pathway, and be pleasing to God. We can't walk over here in darkness while the Lord is in the light. You see, darkness and light are incompatible, and they cannot coexist one with the other. When things are light, then darkness flees from that light. And of course, God's word enlightens our pathway and enlightens our minds. And as it does, the darkness flees before us. We can't walk in darkness and walk hand in hand with God all at the same time. We must be going the same direction. And we must be going God's way. And we must be in agreement with God's way. Amos posed the question in chapter 3, verse 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Well, it's not a matter of God agreeing with us. It's a matter of us agreeing with God. God isn't going to sacrifice the principles of truth and righteousness in order to accommodate us. We're going to have to accommodate our lives to fit in properly with God's scheme of things. So we clasp our hand in His and allow His word to lead us. And as we walk in the light of His word, then, of course, we're in agreement with Him. So all of us should have a desire to agree with God. Now, right along that same line, we might phrase it just a little different way. To walk with God is to keep His commandments, to keep His word. And all the way through the Bible, we have examples of that. I want us to go back again to the book of Genesis. And we read about a man this time by the name of Noah in chapter 6 of the book of Genesis. And in verse 9, the Bible tells us that Noah walked with God. Now, how did Noah walk with God? What does the Bible say in this context that would give us information that we need that we might apply it to ourselves. Well, if you'll recall in that chapter, God made a decision, and that decision was to destroy the world and its inhabitants because of the gross iniquities that abounded. But here was a man that found grace in the sight of God because he walked with God and he was an upright man. So God informed Noah concerning his intentions. And he said, I want you to build an ark. And he told Noah exactly how he wanted the ark to be built. And in verse 22 of chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I want you to bear that in mind, that Noah obeyed God. He was a man that was upright. He was a man that recognized the prerogative of God to lead our pathway aright, and not the other way around. We're not the ones that dictate to God and say, okay, God, this is the way we're going to go. No, not at all. It's a matter of God, the Creator, saying to those who are His creatures, here is the way that you're to go. And if we're to arrive safely home to be with God forever in the heavenly realm, we must acquiesce to the will of God. And that's exactly what Noah did. He was an upright man who walked with God, and when God told him what to do, he did it without any question at all. And going back to that same book of Hebrews, chapter 11 again, we learn concerning that. Listen to verse 7 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Well, this gives us some additional information that we sorely need in order to see the total picture. That is that Noah was a man of faith. He trusted in God, and thus when God told him what he wanted him to do, he did that without questioning God. And that's the kind of faith you and I should have. We should never question God's directives. We shouldn't say, now wait a minute, God, I know that's what you say, but I think this, and a lot of people do that very thing. You'll remember Naaman the leper did that in 2 Kings chapter 5. When the prophet gave instruction as to what God would have him to do in order to be cleansed from his leprosy, you go down and dip 7 times in the Jordan. And Naaman was angry at that. Behold, I thought, Naaman said, that the prophet would come out with me and wave his hand and go through this ritual and all, I'm paraphrasing the thought, and recover my leprosy. And so he turned and went away in a rage. And it was then that one of his subordinates reasoned with him. And he said, Naaman, if the prophet had commanded you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? And of course, Naaman in his mind had to admit that that was the case. Yes, if he had gone through some sort of liturgy or some sort of ceremony and waved his hand over the place and become animated, why, he probably would have more quickly responded. But as it was, he was outraged with these simplistic instructions. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan. And therefore he went away in a rage until this subordinate said, Naaman, think about this for a moment. If the prophet had commanded you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? And the answer was yes, he would have done it. How about these simple instructions then? Go dip 7 times in the Jordan. And of course, all of us know the story that Naaman then went and did as the prophet said, and it was at that point in time when he was cleansed of his leprosy. A simplistic example for us, remembering Romans 15 verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Question, what do we learn from that? We learn that we've got to trust God and obey Him regardless of what His commands are. Well, Noah did. Can you somehow in your mind transpose yourself back to Noah's day? What if God said that to you? You'd lived in those ancient times and God had said, I want you to build an ark. I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. And you might well have looked up in the clouds, not seen a cloud in the air. And you might have said, well, now this doesn't really make sense to me that I am to build this huge boat out here in the middle of nowhere. But he didn't outguess God. He didn't second guess him. He just set out to do what God told him to do. And thus he acted by faith. He trusted God and he obeyed God. And all of us remember Noah for that very thing. But that's just one of many such examples we find in the Bible. I want us to turn now to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. And if you have your Bible, you might want to turn there. And we want to note several different verses from this chapter. Of course, you'll remember that the book of Leviticus contains the instructions of the law which God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And in that series of instructions found in this book and also the book of Deuteronomy, we notice verses 3 and 4 of chapter 26 of the book of Leviticus. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Notice there's always that little word IF, a contingency word, a conditional word. And thus we oftentimes employ it in our preaching because God employs it in His Word. If you will obey my commandments, I will bless you immeasurably. But if you choose not to obey my commandments, then you will bear the responsibility for that disobedience. Well, let's drop down to verses 11 and 12. I will set my tabernacle among you, God said in verse 11. And verse 12, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. Now, of course, the context does bear out the condition on this. If you keep my word, if you do what I tell you to do, then I will walk among you and will be your God. You see, that's the condition upon which God walks with us today. If we will keep his commandments. If we will walk in accordance with His revealed will and do these things, all will be well. It's just that simple. People try and make a religion difficult, but it's really not if we'll follow the Bible. It's the rules of men that make it difficult and muddy the water, but if we'll just follow what God's Word teaches, there's no problem. Dropping down to verses 23 and 24 of the same chapter, if you will not be reformed by me in these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sin. So now God has reversed the picture. And he said, now if you're going to be stubborn and rebellious and walk contrary to what I've said to you, then you need to know that I'm going to walk contrary to you. So the idea of walking is a biblical expression, and it's found all the way through. And of course, I think all of us understand that he's not talking about a literal walk here as far as our legs and feet are concerned. He's talking about the spiritual walk, walking with God or not walking with God, doing what God has commanded or not doing what God has commanded. There is the crux of the matter. And we need to understand that and thus comply with his teaching. In John chapter 8, verse 12, over in the New Testament, the Lord declared that I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We come right back to that idea of walking in the illumination of God's Word. And of course, Christ is the Word personified. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. So Christ is the Word of truth personified. That's the reason he called himself, I am the way, the truth. Well, he is the very epitome of truth. He lived the truth. He spoke the truth. And he directed his life in accordance with the will of the Father. And so he now tells us, if you will follow me, you shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Accumulative information that we're gaining here. Well, let's turn on over to the book of Romans chapter 6, a very well-known passage. And again, we see where obedience to the will of the Lord is involved. In verses 17 and 18 of that chapter, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Christians, expressed thanksgiving to God for their obedience to the gospel. Here's the way he put it. Thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, that is, that was their former life, they had been serving Satan in engulfing themselves in a pursuit of sin. But something happened, and what happened is found in the middle part of verse 17. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. When they obeyed the gospel, when they were baptized into Christ, they reversed their lifestyle. They desisted any longer to walk in darkness. They quit doing those things that were debasing and wrong. And they started walking with God hand in hand. And that's seen clearly in backing up in the chapter to verses 3 through 5. Paul did not want them to be ill-informed. Contrarywise, he wanted them to be informed. And that's the way, certainly, we want all of this congregation to be. We want you to be informed on these matters. Thus, he asked them a question. Are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? He wanted to remind them what they had done to become Christians, as suggested in verse 17 and 18. They had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, and they had done that by being baptized into Christ. Thus, verse 4, we were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, now listen, so we also might walk in newness of life. Well, our life is a new life in Christ Jesus, and we're walking in the light now instead of in the darkness. We're walking in obedience to God's commands instead of in disobedience. A whole new outlook of life. We've been raised to walk in newness of life, raised from the watery grave of baptism. So then, to walk with God means to walk as God directs us to walk. This time we want to go to the New Testament, and I want you to turn to 1 John 1. Butch read some of this a moment ago. We're going to look at some of the epistles of John in these matters and see how that God does want us to walk in the light with him. Verses 6 and 7, this is what Butch read. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Of course, we've already established that. But if, there's that contingency word, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Now with that in mind, turn on over to the 5th chapter and look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. God did not intend to put upon us a heavy burden when he gave us commands. He gave us those commands for our own good, did he not? After all, he is the creator. He's the one that brought us into existence. He knows us better than anybody else. And you might think in terms of the Bible as being an owner's manual. God owns us, as it were. He made us. He knows what causes us to tick. And he knows what's best for us. And therefore, he's given us guidelines. He's given his precepts and his commandments and his teachings to guide our footsteps aright so that we might enjoy the abundant life while we live on this earth and have as reality the prospects of life eternal as an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast that we talked about in the lesson this morning based on Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Well, in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, we read about things like that. Let's look at 2 John, and let's look at the first part of verse 6. This is love, that we should walk after his commandments. You know, we've already established this, but I'm simply bringing you additional scriptures that you might perceive that this is established all the way through. Let's turn to the little book of 3 John this time. And all of us remember that John, the elder, was writing unto Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in truth. And this is what he had to say to him in verses 2, 3, and 4. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So Gaius was prospering in a spiritual way. And John is simply praying that he might enjoy physical health, the same as he was enjoying spiritual health. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and bear witness unto thy truth, even as thou walkest in truth. Greater joy have I none than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. Probably John had been instrumental in the conversion of Gaius, and therefore looked upon him as his child in the faith, somewhat like Paul looked upon Timothy as his child in the faith. So John felt very close to Gaius, and he was delighted to hear these reports that Gaius was a man who continued to walk in the truth. And I know that I experienced the same thing when I learn of people that perhaps I've influenced through the years and learn that they're still very faithful and dedicated to the Lord and involved in the Lord's work. That's joy to my heart to hear that. And to think in those terms. Well, the Bible enjoins that upon us. And this is one thing we need to see. Walking with God does not stop at baptism, my friends. That's really the beginning of our walk. We obey God and we start out hand in hand with Him, walking with Him through life. And the Bible tells us to keep on walking with Him. Let's look at a number of other scriptures real quickly. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and look at verse 25. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Now, how does one walk by the Spirit? Well, I brought that out in the sermon this morning, that the Holy Spirit is the divine agency through which the revealed will of God was made known to man. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you'll never find a better definition of inspiration than what I've just quoted from 2 Peter 1 and verse 21. And so the Bible is telling us to walk by the Spirit. If you profess to be a Christian, if you profess to be guided by the Spirit, well, then make sure that you are guided by the Spirit. Which is another way of saying keep on obeying what God has told you to do. Well, let's look at chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, if you would please, beginning with verse 17. And again, we see the imagery of walking with God. These people were Christians when Paul wrote to these brethren in Ephesus, but they hadn't always been. So he said to them, beginning with verse 17, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That is, you don't want to walk like you used to walk, apart from God, walking in darkness, indulging yourself in all of these things that are debasing and hurtful to one's soul, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. Paul is saying you used to be like that, and those who've not accepted the gospel, who've not believed in Christ, who've not obeyed the gospel, are still living that way. But you don't want to live that way any longer. They, being past feelings, gave themselves up to lasciviousness, which means that which tends to produce lewd emotions, and they had engulfed themselves in that to work all uncleanness and greediness. But now look at verse 20. But you did not so learn Christ. In other words, when you heard the gospel and were taught in the gospel, you learned better than that. And so verse 21, if so be that you heard Him and were taught in Him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So again, you go right back to Galatians 5:25. If you claim to live by the Spirit, then walk by the Spirit. Do what the Spirit of God has directed you to do. Plain and simple, and taught over and again. Chapter 5 of this same book of Ephesians. Let's look in the verses right here, verse 7 and 8. Be not partakers, therefore, with them, speaking of the people that were still walking in evil ways, for you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Your life as a Christian is to be clearly contrasted with people of the world. And sometimes I wonder if we recognize that need to be different than the world. Love not the world, and neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Notice the contrast in verse 17. If you want to love the world, then you can't walk with God. If you walk with God, you can't love the world. It's just that plain, and it's just that simple. So don't have any fellowship then with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now look at verses 15, 16, and 17. And I realize that many of you could quote this from memory. Look therefore carefully. The word therefore refers you back to what all he said, which would include chapter 4, what we read, chapter 5, what we just read. So he said, in view of all of these things that I've said, you look very carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There's the crux of the matter, brethren, that we understand the will of the Lord, and that we have a mind to do what the Lord has told us to do. And we don't want to do anything differently than that. We want to walk in the light. We want to be pleasing to Him. We want to obey Him. And we don't want to do anything that would bring reproach upon the name of Christ. And therefore, there is a very definite contrast that is drawn in these passages of Scripture. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. There are many things that maybe we don't understand in life. And there are many things that maybe we can't see as clearly as we would like. Questions that sometimes are perplexing, that we don't know the answer to. But those things that are important to our soul's salvation, we can know. And we have been illuminated, and we know the direction God wants us to go, and that's what we should take. If we will walk in the light as He is in the light and hold to His hand and never, never let go, spiritually speaking, then we will be privileged to someday hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The church in Sardis, according to Revelation chapter 3, was a congregation beset with problems, and there were those in Sardis who had defiled their garments, spiritually speaking. And they had allowed their spiritual garments to become soiled with sin. But thankfully, there were those few that had remained faithful to the Lord and had not soiled their garments. And listen to what the Lord said to them. You have a few names in Sardis that have not defiled their garments, and they, listen now, shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. If we walk in the light as our Lord is in the light now, we obey His will, we allow His word to illuminate our pathway, we hold to His hand, we draw near to Him every day that we live, then we can happily expect to walk with Him in white some sweet day in the heavenly realm. I can't imagine anyone knowing all of this to choose a different way. I hope that you'll choose the right way. As Jesus admonished, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. It's a humble walk with God. It's holding to His hand day after day after day, allowing His word to illuminate us, to guide us in our pathway, being faithful and true to Him while keeping ourselves from those things that are spiritually contaminating and spiritually polluting. Don't you want to be a Christian? Don't you want to go to heaven someday? Surely you do. I know that I do. Let's live as God would have us to live. And look forward with happy anticipation to the time when Christ comes again and receives unto Himself those who are His own. Remember that the Bible said, "The firm foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. So if you're present tonight of a responsible age and mind, and you've never yet obeyed the primary commands of the gospel. You've never turned away from sin and repentance. You've never stood before a group of people like this and from your heart and with your mouth made that great and good confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You've never yet been baptized into Christ. You desperately and urgently need to do that. Or if you're a child of God that's wandered away, you've gotten out of harmony with God in one way or the other, you need to come back and make that right. And we beg of you to do that.